You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I want to talk to you today about the mindset of a believer. Look at somebody and say, the mindset of a believer. You got to have the right mindset, you know, as a believer. And, you know, when you come to Christ, you have that wonderful, beautiful experience. Anybody remember when you first came to Christ? I mean, your whole world was just flipped upside down and you started to see things a different way. But also, at the same time, there was the old way of doing things, and it was kind of like trying to pull you back into some old stuff. And so you kind of begin to have this tug of war. Anybody experienced a tug of war? Amen. For all the honest people today, everybody else, God's going to deal with you. He'll work with you. We'll have an altar call for you later on today. But there's an all, you know, the Apostle Paul talked about this. He said, you know, I have to watch out. I have to make sure that I discipline my own body, or else after preaching to everybody, I'll become a castaway. I'll fall away from the faith. So there's this tug of war. And the thing is, it doesn't matter if you've just been saved for a little bit or you've been saved for a long time. We're all dealing with this tug of war, just like Paul was talking about. And it's the different mindset. Which mindset is going to win out? So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, because the mindset of a believer is outwardly focused. Outwardly focused. I want to talk about that this month. The mindset of a believer is outwardly focused. The mindset of the world is inwardly focused. The mindset of the world is selfish. It's give me, give me, give me. What's in it for me? But the mindset of the church is selfless. Pick up your cross and follow him. The mindset of our country is, what can you do for me? What have you done for me? The mindset of the kingdom of God is, what can I do for you? The word of the Lord is your best year yet. How many remember the word of God on New Year's Eve? And we've been talking about this being your best year yet. Look at somebody and say, this is your best year yet. This is your best year yet. But let me give you the strategy, because if you just have the word for the Lord, but you don't have the application plan, guess what? It might not work out for you the way that you thought it was going to work, right? If you want your best year yet, then you have to understand Matthew 6:33. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33 that it's about helping others. What should we seek? We should seek first the kingdom of God and doing things his way, and all these things will be added to us. And see, that's a problem, because the culture of this world is not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added to me. The culture of this world is, let me make sure that everything that I need is added to me, and then I'll get around to everything else. So it's a reversal of what the mindset that Jesus is trying to give us. Jesus saying, seek first the kingdom and doing things my way, and then I'm going to add all these things to you. The world, in contrast, says, seek first getting what you want and what you need, and then get around to everything else. So the kingdom of God is full of concepts that are the opposite approach as society. So if you've gotten too comfortable with the way that things are in the world, you might not be doing things God's way. If you're doing things the exact same way as your unsaved coworker, guess what? You might not, I don't know, but you might not be doing things God's way, because God's way are oftentimes contrary to the mindset of the world. The kingdom of God operates with different principles. Did someone mistreat you? Turn the other cheek. What does the world say? If someone mistreats you, get even. The world teaches you, hate your enemies. God teaches you, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. The world teaches revenge is sweet. God teaches revenge is mine. Your business is forgiveness. But far too often, we're in the church, but the world is still in us. There's that tug of war. Tug of war. this mindset, spiritual mindset versus the natural mindset. And there's many times believers are trying to live for Jesus using the principles of this world. Wait a second. They're trying to live for Jesus. They're trying to live a life that they've dedicated to Jesus, but they're trying to do it by the principles of the world. The ways of this world don't work in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, I have to give you that news flash today. The ways of this world don't function in the kingdom of God. So you have to decide which kingdom you're going to be a part of, which kingdom you're going to operate by those principles, because there's different principles for each kingdom. In the natural, you have to look out for yourself. In God's kingdom, you lay your life down. It's different. It's a different success track. It looks different. Success looks different in each kingdom. In the natural, success in that kingdom, it can be nice. There can be monetary gain. But I want to tell you, it's short-lived. And in the end, it's empty. To the contrary, success in God's kingdom is fulfilling. It's purposeful. It's lasting. It's eternal. But it's hard work. It's sacrifice. It's putting others before you. It's laying your life down. It's a difficult road. In the words of Scripture, it says the road is narrow. But the mindset is a serious thing. Look at somebody and say, the mindset is a serious thing. The mindset is difficult to reprogram. Anybody remember when you had little young kids, or maybe you've been around, you or the aunt or uncle or somebody to little young kids, and you know, it takes so much. You got to carefully teach them the right things so they grow up the right way. You're almost like you're programming a young computer to know what it needs to know. In programming a young mind it's difficult. But reprogramming an already programmed mind is even more difficult. Listen, it took Jesus 3 years to reprogram 12 men to see things a different way. You can't tell me that's easy, because it took Jesus, God incarnate, 3 years to help these men see the world a different way than they had grown up seeing. Reprogramming the mindset is difficult. And if you read the Scripture and you look in the Gospels, you see the battle these 12 men had between the way they had grown up seeing the world and what Jesus was trying to show them. Tug of war. Because here's why. Because just like God has three parts, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have three parts too. We're in His image. We have three parts. We have the spirit, we have the soul, and we have the body, right? The Spirit says, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. But the soul, that's the problem. The mind, the will, and the emotions are what make up the soul, you see, because you say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to do it. And then the mind says, I've got a couple questions. I've got a couple of concerns that are lingering on my mind in the middle of the night. The Spirit says yes, but in the morning the emotions say no. I don't feel like forgiving that person. The Spirit says yes, Lord. The emotions say, I don't know if I want to love my enemies. I've got a problem with that. But the mindset of a believer is outwardly focused. It's interesting to me how often the society, the world society creeps into the church. Listen. The world shouldn't be influencing the church. The church should be influencing the world. That was to Matthew 28. We hadn't forgotten that, right? To disciple nations, not to let the TV, the world, the things influence the church, but the other way around. And you see how these things creep in. This is why it's so important to study the Word of God. Oh my goodness. If you make a New Year's resolution, if you make a new habit for 2018, make it to study the Word of God. Make that thing a reoccurring affair. Make that thing a daily thing. In Psalm 1 it says, The righteous person will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth fruit in its season. And he'll meditate on the Word day and night. He meditates on the Word. Why do we meditate on the Word? Why is it important to study the Word of God? You remember what they taught you in elementary school? Repetition, repetition, repetition. Repetition, repetition. Repetition is the greatest teacher, right? Can I ask you, who's teaching you today? Not me. I'm not talking about right now in this moment. I'm talking about in your life. Who's your greatest teacher? Who's the greatest repetition in your life? Because we're all choosing who we're allowing to teach us. And there's a lot of teachers out there. There's the TV. There's the radio. There's movies. There's the news. All types of things, teaching, teaching, teaching. Social media. If repetition is your greatest teacher, who is teaching you the most right now? Is it the Word of God or is it popular music? Is it the Word of God or is it the newscaster? Be sure that just as the Bible teaches principles, there are other people teaching principles that are different. Part of a different mindset. Part of a different kingdom. Listen to this. Listen to this. Believers, you have to be careful what you put in. Because what you put in, you might just get out. I know that's a new thought, huh? What you put in, you might just get out. If you put a lot of something in, you might just get out that same thing. So we have to be careful. I don't want to be religious. I want to be honest. I want to be practical. I want to be even logical in saying, if I put enough of this in, then I'm going to more reflect this than I reflect that. Can I be honest with you? I'm not religious, honest. Can I be honest with you? If I put enough of this in, I'm going to start to reflect this instead of reflect that. If you fail to put enough of the Word of God, the world becomes your greatest teacher. Listen, listen, listen. Whew. If you fail to put enough of the Word of God in, someone else will become your teacher. I want to tell you who my teacher is. The Word of God. I want to know that I'm standing on the Word of God. When I get into difficult circumstances, I want to know that I'm standing on the Word of God. When my back gets against the wall, I want to know that I'm standing on the Word of God. When I hit the height of success, I want to know that I'm not slipping because I'm standing on the Word of God. Something powerful. Because if you don't watch, you could still be in the church, but with the world completely infiltrating the way that you think. The way that you treat your kids, raise your kids, the way you treat your wife. The way you handle your business. The way you vote. It's infiltrated the way that you think. The power of the mindset. Everybody's preaching nowadays. More than ever before. Everybody's got a sermon. Turn on music. Somebody's preaching a sermon. I turn on the TV show. Somebody's preaching a sermon. Movie. Somebody's making a political statement. Always somebody preaching something. Who do I allow to be my teacher? It's a TV show I really liked. A lot of the aspects about it, but something just kept on getting under my skin. They kept on just trying to make a political agenda, to try to also make ethical statements that were contrary to my faith. And, you know, I had to just turn it off. I said, I refuse to let that be my teacher. I choose who's going to be my teacher. You choose who gets to be your teacher. Because there's ultimately going to be moments when politically correct doesn't match biblically correct. And you have to decide where you stand. Because let me tell you something, they don't always agree. Now it seems a lot they don't agree. Politically correct, biblically correct. What is the mindset? What is the mindset that you're operating by? Because I enjoy music, I enjoy movies, I enjoy these things, but I'm always aware what's being preached. What's being preached? Just as the body is, the soul is. Can I tell you this? And many of you are already thinking this. You put the right stuff in your body and you exercise, what do you get? You get healthy, you get fit, right? Same applies to the soul. You put the right thing in, you exercise. Guess what you get out? Healthy, stronger, powerful. I want this to be the healthiest, strongest year we've ever had. I want this to be your best year yet. But we have to understand having the right mindset. We have to understand Matthew 6:33 to get there. Your best year yet is not going to happen off the world's principles. It will only happen off of His principles. I can't truthfully stand up here and say, I prophesy this is going to be your best year yet, and not tell you there's a stipulation. And it's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and doing things His way, and God's going to add all these things to you. What God has for you, the best year yet, is a prophetic word to you, but it will only be realized using His strategy. Listen, you cannot activate the word of the Lord with principles of the world. You cannot activate the word of the Lord with the principles of the world. You can only activate the word of the Lord with the ways of the Lord. And I want to see you activated. I want to be a part of that process of activating you too. I don't want to just excite you and get you pumped up this year. I want to equip you for this to be your best year yet. That's why last year I spent hours developing the foundation class. That's why we offer foundation class. We offer the prophetic class. We offer prayer. We offer these things weekly. Why? To equip the believers. Why? So we can have the best year yet. Let me tell you something. Most of us in this room, we've said yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I have decided to follow You. God, I love You. I will go to the ends of the world. But it's the soul that we have to keep in check. It's the emotions, it's the mind, it's the will that has to be trained. It has to be retrained. It's time for us to get equipped. It's time for us to look at the Word of God. I want to, like it says in Matthew 6:33, I want to build up the kingdom. I want to build up the church. I want to do things His way. And I want to see God add to us in such a powerful way. Is anybody ready for your best year yet? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a good year. Just an amazing year of God. Just God giving me my best year yet. But I want to challenge you. Seek first God's kingdom. Building His kingdom. Building up His church. Doing things His way. And God is going to bless you beyond everything you could ask or think. According to His riches and glory, He's going to give you your best year yet. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I know that Your promises are always true. God, Your promises are always true. That's what Your word says. They're yea and amen. They're always true. And God, You promised us this is our best year yet. God, let us walk into that. God, let us walk into that, Father. But Father, we know that we walk into that by having a mentality that's focused outwardly. A mentality that's focused on how can I build the kingdom of God up? How can I build the church up? How can I be the hands and feet of Jesus? How can I be an extension of you? And in being an extension of you and doing things your way, God, you're going to bless me. It's your desire to bless. It's your heart to bless, but you only do it your way. You don't do it our way. You don't do it on the principles of the world. God, you do it on your terms. Father, let us line up, God, with that mentality of Matthew 6:33. God, give us a heart. Let us be challenged today, God, to put more in of you than we put in of anything else. I'm not trying to demonize everything else. I'm just saying, God, let us put more in of you than we put of anything else so that we can know what your voice sounds like, so that we can know what your ways are, so that we can know how to build up your kingdom. Father, I thank you. I also want to pray for those, maybe you're here and you say, I just feel like I've gotten a little bit disconnected. I've just been having this tug of war in my spirit, and I feel like I've been kind of losing a little bit. My spirit has said yes. I want to say yes. My heart is saying yes, but in the soul realm somewhere, I just feel a disconnect. I feel like I need a little help. God wants to help you today. God wants to reconnect you. God wants to jump in there and give you that extra boost that you need in that tug of war that may be going in your heart or your head today. If that's you, you say, I just need to reconnect. I just need to get that extra push today. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. 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 If that was you and you lift up your hand, I just want to ask one of the prayer team just to stand by you, put a hand on your shoulder, and I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, these are your people. They're not my people. I'm just a steward. I'm just an under-shepherd, God. These are your people, your sons and daughters, God. I pray that you would encourage them, God. I pray that you would reinvigorate them, God. Refresh them today. Lord, I speak into their spirit that there is a new season. I speak into their spirit and I prophesy into their spirit today that this is a new day. This is a new chapter. This is a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Even now, do you not perceive it? I'm making streams in the desert. I'm making paths in the wilderness. God is doing it. And I just speak strength to whatever your tug of war is. I speak strength to whatever your battle is. I speak strength to whatever you're going through today. That you will win, not just this time, but you'll win again and again and again and again. Lord, we thank you for what you've done, what you did on the cross. God, it gives us the power to overcome. So Lord, we overcome today. We speak the overcoming spirit over them. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We thank you, God, that you've not caused us to be the tail, but you've caused us to be the head. You've caused us to be victorious. You've caused us to be more than conquerors. And I speak that into your spirit today. Everybody that has their hands lifted, everybody that has their ears open and say, I want that, you can just reach up and grab that, because God has called you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You've been fighting some battles. You've been having some tug of wars. You've been having some seasons that you've just been battling and you've gotten a little battle weary. But God says, I'll be your strength when your strength is gone. In your weakness, I am made known. I am made strong. I'm going to show up strong. The Old Testament calls him God of the angel armies. And I want to tell you that he is more than powerful to handle any problem that's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what you think you've done, how you think you failed. God can take your failures and he can make them into victories. In Jesus' name. Can we just end by singing this song? Will you stand with me and just sing this?
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.